broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 27th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founders, one of the great restorative tools we have. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, and a quick recap of yesterday's broadcast, brought to you by Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. It tastes phenomenal. To learn more, get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. Yesterday on the broadcast, it's available on demand at libertyroundtable.com. It's free, but donate while you're there, would you please? We had our guest on, Mr. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, and ronpaulinstitute.org. We talked about helping the homeless in Utah and across the country. We talked about a couple of bills in Utah, HB 462 and SB 235, both of them together about $14 million to help the homeless. You know what? We applaud the desire to help the homeless, but we submit to you that they're going down the wrong road. It's not a governmental responsibility. Go back to the Davy Crockett days to get guidance, not yours to give, or not mine to give, if you will, is what he learned from a farmer. Boy, is Davy Crockett spot on that reality. Do we support forced tax redistribution of wealth to help the homeless? No, we do not. Do we support charitable acts of kindness by churches and individuals and philanthropy groups and individuals and kind people everywhere? Absolutely. America is one of the greatest philanthropic nations on the planet, and that's great news. So we believe there are answers, but get government out of the middle of it. Whenever government gets involved in things that it ought not, it goes awry. Costs go up, inefficiencies happen, regulations occur. We talked about my quest to find a former reporter for the LA Times, a homeless man. Difficult. The opportunity that it would be if we could start a city for the homeless and provide jobs and solutions. But that's about impossible. Why? Out of control regulations. You got to get government out of the way, folks, so the people could do good things. Kurt Crosby wisely pointed out the way it used to be done is churches were involved big time. They used to own hospitals and all kinds of fantastic things. Let's go back to the good old days, if you will. And I get there's a blend between the good old days and modern times that would have the most benefit. There's some old day facts that are great, or yesteryear facts. There's also some modern day facts that are great. Modern day facts are, hey, there's a new 3D printer that can print literally homes for $4,000. They print cement homes, if you will. Just imagine the old days of being able to buy land that are, you know, do the homesteading, along with new technology to build inexpensive homes. I mean, you could create a blend of the best of both worlds that would be incredible. What would it take? It would take government to get out of the way, to lower taxes, and then let the churches in. Well, just think of it like this. Love thy neighbor as thyself. There's an Arkansas tax me fund. It was a joke at first, but I guess it raised well over $1,000. So, you know, you don't need taxation, folks. There are good people around that'll do good. They always talk about these rich people. Oh, you got to raise taxes so we can all contribute to the solutions. Well, why don't they just contribute without raising taxes? Why don't we lower taxes and see what philanthropy happens from the greatness of the American people? We talked about that former LA Times reporter. It was incredible. I mean, he used to be a reporter for 40 years, and now the poor guy's homeless. I'd love to get a hold of him. I've tried. I've contacted the library that he frequents. I've done everything that I can. Short of literally jumping in my car or, you know, getting on a plane and going down to L.A., I don't know how to find this guy. But it would sure be nice. That was Hour 1 of Liberty Roundtable Live. Incredible broadcast that held over to Hour 2 with Lowell Nelson, who told a personal story about philanthropy and people making a difference in America. This is Solutions Radio. Second hour, we had on Neldon Johnson, inventor of Raw Power 3 Solar Technologies. RawPower3.com is the website, RAPower, the number 3.com. We discussed the disruptive technologies used by Raw Power 3, and we're giving a look week after week into the reality check as more and more of these technologies are commercialized and deployed. It's incredible. We talked about a news-breaking reality check. Neldon just got back from Nigeria, $600 billion deal with new technologies. Fascinating. We'll keep an eye on that ball. Kurt may even be able to go on the road and report live from the event. So we'll let you know what happens. But I'm just telling you, pretty neat stuff, innovative stuff. You might say, Sam, this stuff will never come to fruition or to fruition. Well, that's my fear. But would it be because it's not real technology, or would it be because of out-of-control regulation? Would it be because the big corporate world's in bed with government to shut it down? Time will tell. We'll keep an eye on the ball. Ann Coulter, under the Constitution, Donald Trump doesn't need Congress to build the border wall. Well, Congress already gave approval for the border fence. What if Donald starts with that money that was approved, what, over 20 years ago? Are the mentally ill more prone to commit acts of violence? The answer is no if you study the reality check. Mentally ill are a problem for sure, and they need help. But they need help from God, family, and country. We don't need government involved. But they're not more likely to commit acts of violence than others unless you enter psychotropic drugs into the mix. Violent video games into the mix. Lack of parental supervision into the mix. Lack of a connection to God Almighty, the author of our liberty. Then you have mentally ill going off the rails. But otherwise, you don't. In fact, there was a Mormon guy we covered. He went ballistic with a gun, but he didn't even know what he had done when he woke up from his drug-induced, I don't know what you call it, rampage. He basically was shocked that he'd even done it and couldn't believe it. It violated every core of his conscience. Thank heavens he didn't commit any acts of violence. So we need to be very understanding about this. Are the mentally ill actually more prone to committing acts of violence? The answer is clearly no if you study reality. But again, the mainstream press won't talk about these facts, will they? Will torture make America great again? An incredible column that Lowell Nelson pointed to. Absolutely not. Torture, we lose the moral high ground. But Donald Trump is surrounding him. I don't know if you call them torturites, but the folks that are pro-military-industrial complex big time. And I'm very concerned that we may be headed towards another war. Why? Because of the hawkish agenda of those surrounding the President of the United States. We also talked about the Ron Paul column that says tariffs are not the answer. Big government, in other words, is the big problem. Regulation, taxation, and of course spending is the problem. The United States not only spends more on military weapons than the combined expenditures of the eight next biggest spending countries in the world, but also spends billions of dollars in subsidizing countries like Germany, Japan, and South Korea, to name a few. Why do we do that, folks? We need to bring U.S. troops home from these countries. That's an excellent place to start in reducing spending on out-of-control military-industrial complex, or militarism, if you will. That's a recap of the broadcast. I'm telling you, Ron Paul, Rand Paul, doing a great job. Are they perfect? Far from. Do we wish they would collaborate with us more? Absolutely. But we need to be very careful, even though, hey, we're so busy doing our own things. We think radio's the answer. They think getting folks elected to office is the answer. You know what? I'm here to tell you that all of the good guys bringing forth answers and focusing on what they do best and what they feel is important has a place. We're grateful for their leadership. We're grateful for their involvement. We're grateful that, you know what? A bunch of us working on the solutions we think best creates one great whole called solutions. And boy, howdy, is it a good thing. We just need more of us. We need more money, more people, more, a little bit of, more of everything. That's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. It is up and available on demand free. So many ways, it's beyond imagination. Start with libertyroundtable.com. It's on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. I mean, it's on everywhere, folks. Unlimited listen line. You can dial in and listen to live radio or go to libertynewsradio.com for the live events. Archives are available all kinds of places. Just check it out, libertyroundtable.com. And, live and on-demand radio at your fingertips is all we can say. All right, That's a recap of yesterday's broadcast. Again, brought to you by Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. To learn more, get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, or smile and dial 801-669-2211. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. Speaking of Kurt, he's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. Gun control measures or gun anti-gun agenda measures are taking their toll. Remington's in the news, Kurt, and it's not good.
Yeah, they've been dealing with some fallout after the was it the Sandy Hook deal? You know, bottom line is you know, these days there's a lot of lawsuits against them. And Remington has had to deal with that, and now has said they're in bankruptcy.
Let's be clear, though, it's bankruptcy protection.
Yes, that's
right. And I don't mean to play games with words, but here's why I say this. Usually bankruptcy means you're gone. You're out. Yeah, you're done. Bankruptcy protection usually means you're hoping for a way to see the other side and continue. To some degree, right?
Good point.
And I know that's kind of a weird, you know, when you think of bankruptcy, it's kind of a weird deal. But there's different kinds of bankruptcies, and some of them relate to, hey, let's have our creditors back off. Let's regroup and see another day. Let's put together a plan to pay back as many people as possible, and let's see if we can't have another go, if you will. So one is a company shutdown. The other one is a company restructuring with an effort to say, hey, would it be better if we continued? Let's talk about that a little bit. Remington declaring a BK.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Yes, you are, ladies and gentlemen. So U.S. gunmaker Remington files for bankruptcy protection. Not a good sign in my mind. Again, the anti-gunners and their effects are being felt. There's plenty of cash to be brought to bear for the gun control agenda. And March for Our Lives is a movement going on. They act like it's led by children. It's a lie. Children are in the mix. But you got adults organizing it and campaigning and being involved and funding and literally helping make happen. Somebody that the dishonesty here is that the children are actually sick of it. This is Generation Z's coming out. The children just can't take it anymore. This is a children-led, you know, funded, organized effort. But when you study it, you find out that's a big old lie. Children are in the mix, and they're put on display, used as pawns in this scandal, where you got government in bed with agencies all over the place with gun control agendas. Now, why do I say government? You would say, Sam, government's not involved. Come on, Donald's in charge, and he's not. Okay, look, you got teachers' unions massively involved in this and funding it and literally helping kids get involved and literally taking kids on government-schooled field trips and everything else. You don't think that's all funded by your tax dollars, folks? Okay, don't play games with me. I've done my research. So the bottom line is this is a scandal of epic proportion, but we're starting to see the effects. Pretty soon ammunition makers will go out of business. Pretty soon Remington. Pretty soon somebody else. Pretty soon. And it's going to take its toll because the American people are either sitting idly by or painted as an absolute extremist for defending our right to keep and bear arms. Somehow taking guns from the good guys they believe to be the answer. And if you speak out about it, I mean, they'll literally melt down on you. You can't even talk about this intelligently. They're so emotionally charged, these gun grabbers, that if you speak out, they'll either cut you off, shut you down, hang up on you if you're on the phone, whatever it takes to just shut you up. They're not interested in the truth. They're not interested in honor or integrity or in a fair, open discussion. They're interested in marginalizing and shutting us all down. And Remington is really proof in the pudding of their efforts, Kurt. Anything else on this one? All right, we'll try to get Kurt back. I don't know, maybe it's connectivity. Anyway, very interesting indeed on that one, this gun bankruptcy thing. We'll probably see more companies end up doing the big old BK scenario. It's sad to say, but probably true. So there you have that. All right, this is an interesting headline that I wanted to mention. Major U.S. retailers close 6,955 stores nationwide during calendar year 2017. That's a total greater than the number of closures that occurred in any single year under the financial crisis that began over 10 years ago. So, you know, we had the Great Depression back in the 1940s, right? We had the Great Recession that took place 2007. It kind of started 2008. I say it started in 2006. They say it ended in 2009, but I say it even persists to this day to some degree. And I would submit this headline articulates my point. Now, they want you to believe the recovery's happened, but I don't think so. Now, make sure you understand something very clear. The Federal Reserve, you know, the fake money folks, they were created in 1913 to make sure we didn't have any financial crises that were massive. That was the whole reason to create it, saying, hey, we got to control the system to make sure that it's not a meltdown, banks don't fail, you know, that kind of stuff, right? Well, since the Federal Reserve was created, we've got two of the biggest financial crises ever known to man on the planet, the Great Depression and the Great Recession. One in the middle 1940 range or whatever. And then the second one in 2006, 2007 to 2009 kind of range, that was the Great Recession, right? Anyway, I bring all this up to say two of the biggest meltdowns, financially speaking, that have global ramifications all relate to after they created the Federal Reserve, after government started meddling. But of course, no one takes a page out of that playbook for discussion or a reality check at all. They just ignore blindly and act like we got to have fake money, act like we got to violate the Constitution. But it's funding wars and a moral hazard like you wouldn't believe. But anyway, so you got literally 6,955 stores that closed. We're talking about retail, brick-and-mortar kind of stores that closed from big companies in 2017, more than in every year during the, quote, Great Recession. And everybody says that the rebound has happened. We're all back to normal. The economy's rolling and thriving. When 6,955 stores closed, you think that's a recovery? You think that's boost the interest rate time and continue to manipulate the money time? Wow. Now, some of it might be economic doldrums that are being overlooked and ignored by the mainstream press. Some of it may be just disruptive technology coming to bear, you know, buying things on Amazon, buying things from Walmart and going to a store and letting them load your groceries into your car kind of a thing. A lot of it might be just disruptive in nature. And hey, we're seeing we don't need these massive sprawling malls and massive square foot buildings and for retail as much as we used to. That's just a new technology, disruptive for sure, coming to the stage. Which is it in this case? And I submit to you that it's a healthy dose of both. All right, Curtie, you back, sir? All right, we're still
trying to.
Oh, good.
At least I can hear you.
I can hear you great. You know. All right, so what do you think about this major U.S. retailer, 6,955 closing in 17 alone? And that's a massive, massive number. But they act like the economy is just rolling, the Great Depression and recession, they're all gone. I mean, things are booming. We got a big growth pattern. Is it just disruptive technology and a change in the economic delivery? Or do you think this is a points to an underlying problem, economically speaking, in the belly of the beast, if you will?
That's a very good question,
Sam. I think it's kind of both, personally.
All right. Well, there you go.
I don't like it when people just pick one item and that's the cause.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a complex issue. But I'll say this. I don't care if it's modern-day economy having a problem or if it's just disruptive technology. In either case, it's exacerbated, to say the least, by fake money and by a dishonest press. You put those two together, and wow, you got a recipe for disaster. All right, any other thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I was looking at the story. They say that in 2017, they broke a record, the store closing record, I guess, and they figured there's more of them to come for this year. The ones I'm seeing, let's see. Well, anyway, I can't really tell.
Well, while you look a little more on that, though, I will say this. China's making a big push now to take the oil cartels, OPEC and everything else, off of the United States dollar standard. And they're mm-hmm. giving a big push now. It's one of the greatest oil-consuming countries is China. And so there's going to be battle over the, quote, supremacy of the United States dollar. And if you want to see a meltdown in the economy, folks, that's where the battle will be won or lost. All I'm telling you is I don't care if we go to the, Chinese currency or our currency. It's just a battle over fake currencies. But what's going to come out of the ashes of such economic turmoil is going to be, well, let's have a new global currency that'll stabilize this. Or let's have and I'm telling you, that's where they're headed with this stuff. And Donald probably will play ball, Kurt. Donald will come back and say, hey, if we do this, we can show the world that we're willing to, partner for global economic stability. The same push to promote and create the Federal Reserve in the beginning, which is, oh my goodness, there's too much economic turmoil. We got to have a stabilizing factor here. And they pitched fiat money via the Federal Reserve and took us off the constitutional gold and silver standard. Well, that same thing is going to happen on a global scale if we're not very careful, because the dollar will be in question. Our, quote, supremacy or whatever you want to call it will be gone. They'll say if you stand up for the United States dollar or for gold and silver, you're a supremacist or you're a nationalist. And they'll attack you as some kind of a racist or hater or whatever the case may be. An isolationist is what they'll say. And then they'll march towards this, quote, restructuring of the whole economic system, Kurt. That's what I fear is going to happen. Write it down. Remember who kept speaking about it. Now, I don't want to agree with the guys that say it's going to happen tomorrow. By February 16th, this is... Okay, don't get caught up in timing because you'll lose every time, folks. Okay, the sky is falling isn't the answer. The reality check on them remaking our financial world is very likely. When and who and how and what, I don't know. For example, back 20 years ago, they were talking about the Amero was going to replace the dollar. Okay, that's what I mean by the timing. You just can't know what they're going to do. But you can bet they're going to try to take away your guns and control your money. You can bet on that, folks. All right, any other tidbits on this massive restructuring, if you will, economically speaking, via these brick-and-mortar stores, Kurt?
Well, yeah, they say so far they've had closures for this year of 1,446. They say Mattress Firm is going to close 200. Sears is going to shutter over 100.
So they may not make 2017 numbers, but they're getting close, and it's off to a massive start. By the time you take the 6,900 plus the 1,400, you're already at 8,500 retail outlets, ladies and gentlemen, and big companies are melting down. They're remaking the economy while they make you believe that it's a fantastic economy, and thank heavens for the recovery, right?
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
every day I wake up, it's almost like a battle. It's like, well, you know, I could do this today. I could go get drunk.
I don't like beer. I'm an alcoholic because I can't, you know, stop drinking because it alters my mind, but I don't like alcohol.
And I had to keep telling myself that, you know, this is okay. Everybody does this. My whole life was just a big lie.
I can't control if I do take that drink because I'm an addict, and I can't.
I admit it's messed me up.
I don't have a very good memory. I have a hard time remembering things when I learn them.
I can't concentrate on one thing for more than 5 or 10 minutes. You have fun until you hit rock bottom and it's not fun anymore.
I remember sitting in assemblies about drugs and I thought, that's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to be like those kids. Here I am.
The choices that you make are choices you're going to have to live with.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, Sam and Kurt, hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips. All right, Facebook in the news. There's a lot on Facebook. The headline, Facebook may be collecting your call and text data. They say here's how to make sure you don't. Now, just so you know, Facebook's already denied it, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to that?
Well, I remember a phrase from our buddy Jerry Hughes would say, nothing is official until it's been denied. You know, and that probably is apropos in this case. What do you think?
Well, first off, I want to say this. Let's hear how they tell you. In your article, they have this thing that basically says, hey, they may be collecting your call and text data. Here's how to make sure they don't. I want to see what they tell you. And then I want to break that down for a second. Because I don't think that they have a clue.
Yeah, okay.
Right? In other words, they either don't have a clue or they're not going to be honest with you, okay? So go ahead.
Okay. This is a Breitbart piece. Lucas Nolan's the author. It says, Facebook may be collecting data. And then it tells you, here's what you do. Facebook issued a statement on their use of user data stating, when you sign up for Messenger or Facebook Lite on Android or log into Messenger on an Android device, you are given the option to continuously upload your contacts as well as your call and text history. For Messenger, you can either turn it on, choose Learn More or Not Now. On Facebook Lite, the options are to turn it on or skip. If you choose to turn this feature on, we will begin to continuously log this information, which can be downloaded at any time using the Download Your Information tool. However, Ars Technica noted that many users' experience contradicted Facebook's statement. This contradicts the experience of several users who shared their data with Mrs. Dylan McKay, told ARS that he installed Messenger in 2015 but only allowed the app the permissions in the Android manifest that were required for installation. Ars Technica explained, he says he removed and reinstalled the app several times over the course of the next few years, but never explicitly gave the app permission to read his SMS records and call.
Now, let me stop you there and make a reality check, Kurt. When you install this app, I don't care if you give permission or not, by installing the app, you've gave permission. That's the secret they're not telling you. There's only one way to make sure that you don't give Facebook permission. You want to know what it is?
Don't install the app.
Do not install their application, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Okay, whatever company's system
and yet
system
some
you
other
use,
apps,
you give
I
them
think
permission.
Some other
Kurt.
Ones, yeah, some other ones that you might install might not be Facebook, but they might want to connect somehow to those things. And
that's
it's
right.
Just amazing to me, the amazing little computer guys that figure that stuff out. So many times, if they would just focus on things like eliminating the Federal Reserve or whatever, we
they don't want to
sure get some good
look,
stuff.
Look, you're in an age where big corporations in bed with government want to steal your information and control you. And that's why I give so much pushback on this idea that, oh my goodness, Facebook, they got hacked by this whatever Analytica place, and oh my goodness, what do we do? And we better investigate the Analytica people, because golly, and wow, Mark Zuckerberg, look, you find the funding of these companies and the outrageous growth of these companies, and you will see a growth pattern like you have never, ever, ever seen in modern history of applications. Never before has something gone from absolute nothing to rock star status, new app, killer app, whatever term you want to use to say, it becomes ubiquitous. It's everywhere. And whenever you find that happening, you'll find government at the helm. Or you'll find a startup that sells out to one of these global companies that already had government help to get there. Okay, and these companies don't care about your privacy, Kurt. They will play games. They will lie to you. They will, okay, and Google is the biggest offender. Facebook is the biggest offender. Apple's the biggest offender. Microsoft is the biggest offender. And every one of these folks have all kinds of government contracts and ways to create black ops money to grow their businesses beyond your wildest dreams. All right? Now, you can talk about a skirmish. Oh, my goodness. The United States is very sick of it. They're going to sue this or fine them for that. And the UK is going to shut down this. And they're going to, it's all a lie. It's kind of like the Bitcoin lies, this digital currency lie. Oh, my goodness, government's against it. But if we just use this, it'll be okay. I don't believe those things, Kurt. And I'm telling you right now, they may be collecting your call and your text data. They're collecting everything on you, my friends. And it's all backed by and sanctioned by your government. You don't believe me for a case study in truth? All right, how about when George Bush got caught spying on folks? He said, oh, it's only the folks overseas that have ties to terrorism. Then we backed into the discussion. It was like, oh, well, I kind of lied. It was everybody. But don't worry. It was necessary for your security. And then it turned out that, hey, George Bush should have gone to jail, right? But he didn't. Congress just codified his actions. And now it's standard issue. President gets elected. He spies on you. Donald's doing it. Barack did it. Bush and Bush did it. Okay. This is nothing new, ladies and gentlemen. And the lie that they're not using every trick in the book to spy on you, well, if you don't believe me, why are they giving you tickets because your car goes too fast through an intersection or whatever the case may be? Or, quote, run a red light or whatever. Okay, these digital cameras that are automated, they literally, hey, if Kurt's driving my car, I get the ticket. because it was my car used in the, quote, crime. See what I'm talking about? Okay, they monitor everything you do. There's cameras everywhere in our society. The only people that are not allowed to take pictures are the folks that want to film the cops. Then you might get beat up. You might get your camera stolen. You might go to jail. You might have big fines. You might get sued. Those are the only people that are not allowed to, quote, take photos. We try to, and we do it a lot, but they want to stop us. Okay, it's the same thing with this gun control agenda. Hey, it's big funding and controlled everywhere. So if you believe that Facebook may be collecting your data, I'm telling you right now, you're deceived. They're doing it for sure. Google did it, got caught. What were the repercussions? We'll give more money to government. So government kind of says this: we'll fund your company and build it and grow it, and then later we'll fine you so we can pretend we're the opposition, and then you can give your money right back to government so we can fund you again. You don't believe me? Go research what I'm talking about, folks. You could say, oh, Sam, you're just off the charts. That's a conspiracy theory of wild epic proportions. And my response is, no. Who is this analytica company? Where do they get their money? Who started them? How do they get special access to Facebook? Well, Mark Zuckerberg feels super bad, doesn't he, Kurt? He's just like so sad. But he goes to his friends in the media to tell the tale of apology, doesn't he, Kurt? The old issue standard yesteryear media helps out in the cause, don't they? This is the revolving door on steroids again, isn't it, Kurt?
Well, I think it's him paying his penitence. Don't you think, Sam?
Oh, yeah.
So you
pay the penitence,
piece.
Lie and say you'll never do it again, and that you put things in place to stop it, and 5 years later, nobody remembers the past scandal. It happens again, right?
Well, it's like the IRS. They do that all the time, it seems like.
Yeah, and then when I say people don't want to get rid of the IRS, I'm proven right. Most folks don't want to get rid of the IRS, including the elected officials. Why? Because we keep electing them.
Good point.
We want to get rid of the IRS. We would elect Rand Pauls and Ron Pauls and Mike Lees and folks that would actually get the job done for a change.
Good point. Anyway, the headline on this Facebook piece says, Facebook takes out full-page newspaper ads to apologize for data scandal. It's their way of buying some support from the major or from the standard media.
Now, why would you go back to the yesteryear media?
Some of that. Well, because the bottom line is they're getting beat up by that media right now.
And if you fund a big old apology, now you're kind of buddies temporarily.
Yeah.
But I thought that the old press, the old, guard, the newspaper folks and Facebook, I thought they were kind of enemies, Kurt. Now you see that they're really friends and working together.
There, his apology that read something like this: this was a breach of trust, and I'm sorry we didn't do more at the time. I promise to do better for you. Anyway, these ads appeared in the Sunday editions of the UK newspapers, The Observer, The Sunday Times, Mail on Sunday, Sunday Mirror, Sunday Express, and Sunday Telegraph. In the United States, the ads appeared in the New York Times, The Washington Post, and The Wall Street Journal.
All liberal rags to the nth degree. Now, here's the fascinating thing about this. Mark tells you he's so sorry this happened. It's a breach of trust. Well, boy, howdy, is that a fact. But here's what's interesting. How can they shut down constitutional conservatives, quote, right-wingers, but they couldn't shut down the Russians and they couldn't shut down Analytica?
Good point.
Because they're lying to you and they shut down who they want to shut down. And when they really want to shut you down, they can. Trust you me, ladies and gentlemen. Quick pause. More on Zuckerberg in seconds. Zuckerberg is playing us for suckers. Are you going to fall for it, ladies and gentlemen? Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Back with you live, Sam and Kurt on your radio. So Mark Zuckerberg, they're pitching him as the good guy, and this is to show you how the news is full of propaganda, Kurt. Is Mark Zuckerberg the good guy, Kurt? He cares about your rights, doesn't he, Kurt?
That's a good question, Sam, but I think he's part of their
cabal.
You know, the whole thing. Like, if he weren't, then he would have never been allowed to grow like he did.
That's right. Headline, Zuckerberg, fundamentally uncomfortable deciding what counts as hate speech, Kurt. So this is a Hegelian dialectic thing. So when you say that Mark Zuckerberg is uncomfortable determining what hate speech is, you assume that hate speech is like a legitimate thing and a concern and an issue. And Mark just can't decide. He's the good guy. I mean, he doesn't want to shut anybody down and he wants to have freedom. And the poor guy just can't decide. I mean, he knows something needs to be done because hate speech is evil and wrong. And here's the problem with the whole discussion, Kurt. Who determines what hate speech is? Let's say that I say I believe in one man, one woman marriages. I believe it to be the ordained law of God. That's ripping hate speech, buddy, in their minds. In the guys that decide what hate speech is in their minds. So Mark can't decide if he should ban me over my hate speech or not. It's hate speech for sure. That's not debatable. Mark doesn't want to decide by himself, Kurt.
Yep.
Okay. Do you see how there's just a fly in the ointment to where, as long as we accept this idea of hate speech, they've got what they want. They don't care if you're for or against it or you battle against and be the guy being the guy to decide. The battle is about who decides, not about that hate speech is, quote, legitimate and got to be stopped. Good that's point. A given. See, that's where their lie begins, ladies and gentlemen. So I submit to you that I challenge the whole hate speech thing in the first place. Do I think there's some speech that's evil and wrong? I do. But who's going to decide when and how to shut it down and what ought to be done with the, quote, hate speechers, if you will?
That First Amendment, you know, about freedom of speech is kind of tough to include in this mix, isn't it?
Yes, sir. And that's my whole problem with this is how do you constitute hate speech? What if I tell you the government's in bed with Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook and they created the scandal on purpose? They tampered in elections. How come Mark Zuckerberg's not in jail for tampering with the elections, Kurt? I mean, he literally teamed up with this Analytica group and literally tampered with the elections, is how the story says it, right? Him and the Russians. Mark Zuckerberg and the Russians. How come we're not researching a tie between those two? They both took advantage of the situation and stole private information and violated the laws of our land and put the elections in jeopardy, right? How come Mark's not in jail apologizing? Why is he running around free going, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry this happened. We breached your trust. And by golly, not only that, I'm fundamentally uncomfortable deciding what hate speech is. I don't want to be the guy to decide. Why are we painting this guy as kind of the good guy? There was some missteps, but guy, by golly, he didn't mean it, and he's going to crack down to fix it, Kurt. Now, a lot of people have this, quote, delete Facebook movement going on. You heard of this, Kurt?
Yes, I have.
All right, it's everywhere. Elon Musk is one of the big guys leading it, too, by the way. Elon Musk is a very, very big liberal Democrat extremist kind of a guy, right? Mm-hmm. All right, but here's my question to you. You want to know what they're telling you to do? They're telling you to delete Facebook, and the whole world thinks Instagram's the bomb.com now. Instagram's the awesome company. Well, do you know who owns Instagram, ladies and gentlemen? Do you know, Kurt?
No.
Facebook. Mark's so sorry, he'll just drive you to Instagram if you lose faith in him. See how this is bogus from the get-go? All right, now, I want to kind of talk about this fundamentally concerned, fundamentally uncomfortable with deciding what hate speech is. Why do we got to decide what hate speech is, Kurt?
Because they're breaking that other law about freedom of speech.
Why do we got to decide that? Why don't I just say, listen, I can determine what hate speech is for me. Mark can determine what hate speech is for him. And if you come on the radio and you dial 866-986-NEWS and you want to speak out, I will decide what hate speech is. And if I feel like you've crossed the line, I will disconnect you. I'll cut you off. Why? Because it's my radio show. Now, it depends on how much you respect America and the Constitution of freedom. If you say things I disagree with, I will not cut you off. Right? To me, I don't want to use the term hate speech as my decision. I will use the law as my decision. If you violate the law, in other words, suggest violence or say things that violate the law, I will cut you off because I will not use my platform to participate. But if you say things that completely disagree with me, I will give you a chance to have your say. I will not let you monopolize my radio program, though, meaning that I won't argue with you for hours, because what will happen is the enemies of liberty will take advantage of my kindness, and they'll use it to just absolutely disrupt and shut down and monopolize my radio program. That won't happen. But I will give somebody a chance to speak out, even if they disagree with me. Kurt, I think I've done that many times. You and I disagree sometimes. That's okay. It doesn't mean I'm right and you're wrong. It means we all have our own input and our own thought process and our own beliefs, and my lines on things might be slightly different than yours. That's okay. This is America. It's not a battle if I'm right, you're wrong deal. Okay, so I think Mark Zuckerberg has every right to control what's on his platform, given one condition, Kurt, that he built it with his own two hands and his own dollars, not with my tax dollars. That's where I start to draw the line. This radio network, ladies and gentlemen, was not built with tax dollars. It was built with my money, my friends, my people, we all built it together. Okay, the folks that put in $5, $10, all of you helped me build this radio network. Why do I say it's mine? Because legally I have to be responsible for it, right? But it's ours. We the people, the conservatives, the constitutionalists, the Americans built this thing. And by the way, some people overseas even donated, and we're grateful for their investing in the American First Amendment. Okay, but I don't need to define what hate speech is. I'm just telling you, if you engage in illegal activity, I won't be part of it. Otherwise, you can express your opinion. If you want to call up and say, I believe in pro-choice and murdering babies, and I think that's wonderful and great, and let's do more of it, I will say thank you for the call and let you say it. I completely disagree. But if you want to argue with me for 2 hours about that, and eventually I decide to get sick of it and chop you off, then what you'll do is you'll say, I'm violating your First Amendment. And my response is, no, I'm not. You go and get your own radio program and debate that till the cows come home. We'll move on to the next topic of news. So see, that's how it is. Well, Mark Zuckerberg, absolutely, if he built it and it's a private sector discussion, it's not the world's media, it's Mark's. The story supposedly goes he and a couple of buddies hung out in a dorm room and they built it. Went viral, went crazy. Okay, I don't believe that story. I mean, I believe that possibly, partially happened, I should say, but it was a whole lot more than that. All right, but all I'm telling you is when you dig into this, this hate speech discussion is an absolute false starter. Mark Zuckerberg, fundamentally uncomfortable deciding what counts as hate speech. I'm not going to decide what counts as hate speech. I'm going to use the law. And if you violate the law, then I'm not going to be part of it. I'm going to shut you down. If you don't violate the law, I'm going to let you go under my, quote, view of fairness, which means I'm going to let you make your points. Then I'm going to let you go if we disagree, because I'm not going to let you monopolize my time. In other words, there's an appropriate fairness in sharing the mic with even disagreements. But then there's a point where I'm not going to be monopolized under this, quote, guise of fairness. But it gets worse, Kurt. And I'll give you an example. NBC's in bed with the government and the teachers unions and all these people. Turns out that NBC got caught. NBC News issues correction on March for Our Lives numbers. And even when they issue a correction, Kurt, they still get it wrong. Did you see this?
No.
This is amazing. No. Mm-hmm. Nick Givas writes the piece. NBC News issues correction on March for Our Lives numbers and still gets it wrong. You say, well, what the heck did they say? Well, they said 800,000 people showed up at this, quote, March for Our Lives rally. Then they said, well, hold on, that many people weren't registered, but we believe that many people were there, and they got all confused. Well, I don't know if you know, but they were only predicting 500,000 people there in the first place, Kurt, and they didn't even get close to that. It was more like 200,000 at best. So they absolutely got caught fudging the numbers. Now, here's what I find fascinating. When Donald had his inauguration, he claimed the numbers were higher than they claimed that it was, and they say he was involved in fake news and faking the numbers and everything else. Where's the rest of the media to call out NBC on this, Kurt? They're strangely silent. I find that fascinating. Good for Nick Givas for reporting the truth on this. They lied, got caught. Even in the correction, it's dishonest, Kurt.
Good point, Sam. Yeah.
Now, you wonder how much money this NBC group gets from government and from big business that's kind of in the revolving door with government and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right?
Yes.
How do they get so much power? How do they hold on to power? And when you dig into the contracts and the reality check along the way, you'll find out it was plenty of funded by government for their liberal antics. It was funded by guys like George Soros and other groups, teachers' unions and other groups that have great ties to big government money.
We've seen them in the past. Like, for example, General Electric is a pretty big, industrial complex kind of player, military industrial complex kind of player, but they're also owned by ABC, if I remember right, Sam. And so you get the media, you know, getting their money in many ways kind of related, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then you get into Westinghouse, and then you back into, you know, they make appliances, and then pretty soon there's government subsidies on appliances. If you get a new modern appliance, Kurt, that's better for the environment, doesn't take as much power, then you get a government kickback, and you get, okay, and all these things build these companies. They pretend they don't, but they do. Just imagine if you got a kickback for buying an Alexa player. Or an Echo player or whatever, you got, you know, $100 just for having one in your house and you could listen to Liberty News Radio on it. It only turned on Liberty News Radio or something. Because that's what I'm talking about. They do this stuff all the time. And I'm fine with new technologies coming to the table, and I'm fine with these solutions, but I'm not fine when we're gamed, when we're played. And I'm telling you right now, Facebook taking out full-page ad in newspapers? I mean, who reads the newspaper now, Kurt? Why would Mark turn to that? Because there's a political message. He doesn't need to get out the story. He just needs to appear like he's apologizing. He doesn't really need to apologize. He doesn't really need to have people really hear the apology. He just needs to have people hear that he apologized. And he needs to stop the mainstream press, the yesteryear media, from attacking him. But he's as part of the mainstream press as they ever got, isn't he, Kurt?
I think so.
There's the question. Everybody's attacking the Donald. Is everybody attacking Mark Zuckerberg?
No, not everybody.
Well, they just want to drive you from Facebook to Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like the guys that want to go from PayPal to Venmo.
Venmo is owned by PayPal, folks.
Yeah.
All right, it's just the same deal. They change the names because they introduce new and more controlling technology every time they change the game, Kurt. So understand that every time you move from one of their owned properties to the new owned property, they're increasing their control, their hooks in you, with greater and greater and greater technology to bear. Venmo, for example, is much more portable than PayPal. It's more, quote, crowdsourcing. You feel like, oh my gosh, I can go to a restaurant and me and my 10 buddies can pay for dinner together. It's phenomenal. It's incredible. Yep, now they know you and your 10 buddies went to dinner together, don't they? Appreciate that. We won't turn that over to anybody like Analytica. And if we do, we'll tell you how sorry we are. And by golly, we'll restore trust. Why don't you move to our new app? Because it's better, safer, and more secure, by golly. Well, is anybody more secure than the United States government or the credit card companies? They're getting hacked left and right, aren't they? The Russians hacked the government, and the Russians hacked Facebook, and the credit card companies are getting hacked everywhere. Is there any trust? Zero. This nation shall endure. Hour 2 coming up.